Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Happy Friday. It's another episode of the podcast, Gee Thanks, Just Bought It, the podcast where we tell you what to buy next. And today I am joined by Karen Cahoe. She is a business and culture reporter based in New York City. She's been published everywhere, notably 538, Glamour, GQ, Time, Interview, Toronto Life, and the Columbia Journalism Review. You have been around. You have been around. She's giving me a thumbs up right now. She thinks Costco is the best place for anxious people to shop. I would agree with her there. And her best purchase was a gently used Dyson vacuum cleaner for $50. And you put in parentheses twice. Tell me about it.
So I've purchased both the rollerball and the cordless vacuum, each for $50 used.
Like on Craigslist?
No, it was via Columbia students who were fleeing town after graduation.
Yes.
And they were just like, I've used it in my tiny studio apartment or my one bedroom. And by the way, would you like to take $400 worth of other stuff for free? And I'm like, sure. You know,
wow.
How many tote bags did I bring today?
Oh, my God.
And the funny thing is my mother came to visit me in December.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw it. She's like, oh, my God, it's real. You've bragged about this for so long. I can't believe it actually exists. It's like it retails for $400.
A $50 Dyson vacuum is like, that's the thing that you're going to, like, leave in your will to somebody. You know what I mean? Like, and someone that you, like, really love and that you really trust. Because that, like, it's a great vacuum to have. I got a stick vac on my wedding registry because I was, like, the only reason to get married is to, like, register for. My mom was like, why have you registered for 6 vacuums? And I was like, excuse you. But to get one for $50 is, like, I'm, like, getting all, like, I don't know, that I feel some tingles inside. I'm really excited about it. That's awesome.
I thought it was, my other previous grade score, I used to live in northern Canada in this town called Yellowknife,
mm-hmm.
and they had their own version of Craigslist called YK Trader, and I got a Canada Goose coat for $100 Canadian.
Oh my God.
And I thought, I'm never going to get anything as
right,
good
this is my one life deal. And now you're getting like multiple Dysons.
You know, they were selling dressers for $100 Canadian. So I thought it was, you know, and that was my introduction to buying gently used stuff.
Totally.
Because I didn't grow up with that. I didn't grow up going to thrift stores.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but this idea, especially in a city like New York or LA, or even to a lesser degree, places like San Francisco, or other cities where you have a high turnover of people in Miami or Toronto. The fact is there are people constantly moving and constantly buying new stuff.
Constantly.
And I think taking advantage of that, especially when you have a lot of university students.
Yeah.
And I'm happy. I always remind myself I've saved it from a landfill.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's amazing. You're a noble citizen of the earth, and you have 2 Dysons that cost you $100 total. This reminds me, and Boston listeners, please, get in touch and tell us more. But I went to college at UMass Amherst, and I had friends who went to BC and BU, and I have cousins who are in Massachusetts. And in Boston, they call it Alston Christmas, which is, I think, either June when everyone moves out and all the stuff ends up on the street and you can get so much great stuff, or September when everyone moves in. And someone from Boston will have to report back. But this is like a known thing. It's like, oh, you want furniture, you want stuff, like wait until all the college students like hit the road. So you are up at Columbia. So was this through like a Columbia like listserv of like people being like, I'm getting rid of all this stuff?
So there are internal Facebook groups.
Just I like, want to embed, so.
Oh, I mean, the thing is, you just have to invite people.
Karen,
I do it for friends.
Yeah.
I do it for friends all the time. I was
That's
like,
awesome.
Do you need a dresser? What do you need? Do you
right.
need an iron? And then it's paying attention to what they're selling on these Facebook internal groups.
Yeah.
And then also just keeping a close watch on Craigslist. Like, I got a a sewing machine this past weekend for $45.
Do you know how to sew?
I haven't done it in like 10 years, but I was tired of hand sewing like a pair of mittens. And I was like, I'm working too hard for this.
I was tired of hand sewing a pair of mittens. Like, Karen, what can't you do? So I told Karen to bring some items. She emailed me like a very succinct, but also like really like well thought out list. And then I emailed her back and my email didn't go through. So she's like, I brought everything. She's laid it out on the table. But the one that I was hoping she'd bring is the one that she wanted to talk about. So Karen, what'd you bring?
I mean, let's go with the non-seasonal thing. So I brought seasonal items and non-seasonal items.
Well, I want to hear about and I'm pointing to it.
Oh, okay. So
that's what I love.
I brought this laptop stand. It's it was on Kickstarter or I think Indiegogo first, and it's called Moft, and it basically
Moft.
Yes,
okay.
It has this like funny acronym that I can't remember right now, but sure. We will link to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then
we will
put it in the spreadsheet.
Cool.
And the nice thing about it is it's collapsible and it's very, very thin, and it just attaches to your laptop.
It attaches to your laptop, and then it's so your laptop right now is sitting flat.
Yes.
As if you don't have a stand on it at all, and then you just oh my gosh, it's amazing, you guys. I can't even explain it. So then she picks it up, and it's like a kickstand, but then your laptop is upright, so for a more ergonomic typing.
Yes. So it also, the thing that's really good about it is it basically props the keyboard up in a way that is, that isn't too high for wrist strain,
okay.
But then it raises the screen up a significant level so that when you're, you know, working at a coffee shop or away from your desk, like I have an external monitor and keyboard set up at home,
right.
But when you're working remotely away from your desk, you're basically reducing your neck strain from looking down at the screen because it's raised up. Like, I'm 5 foot
yeah.
eight.
Yeah, me too.
So it's very important. And the thing about it is it's very thin. You don't have to worry about forgetting it, like an external keyboard or a mouse or
well,
anything like that. Yeah, so it's attached.
But I mean, that's incredible. You don't have to ever think about it again. So wait, so I'm videoing you for, as I'm trying something new, I want to put it on Instagram. So like, okay, show me the computer flat. By the time you hear this, some of you might have already seen the Instagram. Okay, so it's flat, just like any old computer, nothing crazy, and now pop it up.
And then
it's crazy! That's so cool.
And it just, like, takes no time.
Well, the big problem with other laptop stands, and I have one at home, it's fine. Like, I don't think I would, like, right, I wouldn't bring it here. It hasn't, like, changed my life. You know what I mean? Like, it's a thing that cost me $15. It, like, does the job. But it's a totally separate piece. I have to remember it. And also then, like, you kind of look like a, I feel like I look like a big, like, I don't know, like space taker upper. If I'm like at the coffee shop and I'm like bringing out my standing desk or whatever. But this is so non-invasive.
No.
In a lot of ways. And it's also just, it just doesn't beg a lot of questions. I don't know. Like, it just makes a lot of sense. I really love that it attaches. And how does it attach? Is it a magnet or is it like a sticky?
Yeah, it's a big sticky.
Okay.
But the thing is, it's really easy to peel off if you
want
to.
So if you got it wrong?
Yeah.
How'd you level it when you put it on the first time?
I just
don't peel it off. It's okay.
I matched it to the grate.
Yeah, I'm not that smart.
And then I did it like that.
It's Columbia over here. There's a reason.
That was it.
Like, how'd you do it without a ruler? And how long have you had it on your computer?
Oh, it's been a year because I asked my sister if she wanted one last Christmas.
It's so cool.
And it comes now because it was so successful online. It comes in many different colors and patterns.
Nice.
And
you have the plain black one, which I really like.
How
much did you pay for it?
I think I paid, because I bought it during the Kickstarter, I bought it for $20. But you can buy, you know, there are discounts if you buy in volume and then the ones with patterns cost a little bit more
mm-hmm.
for customizable purposes. But the thing is, I go to the public library, I go to a coffee shop or when I travel, it's really convenient. And it fits, you know, it fits on that horrible tray when you're flying a lot.
That's right. Yeah. That, I mean, and does it have a grip? It looks like kind of it has some grip material, because my issue when I'm flying is that I feel like my computer is like sliding all over the place. So yeah, it does. It looks like it has some tread.
It's a hexagonal tread pattern.
Wow,
and the thing
cool.
is, theoretically, you're supposed to be able to do it in two different configurations, but I always end up doing one primary one because I find it's more secure.
It kind of reminds me of the laptop case that like kind of goes into a triangle and then it leans back. But this, it feels a little bit more. I mean, she's literally shaking the table right now and it's not moving. It's smart. Do you feel like your wrists and your neck and your back? I mean, like, I don't know. Sometimes I catch myself at work in the hunched over, like, Strega Nona position where I'm like, oh, my God, I need to, like, fix my posture. Does this help?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't recommend it for, like, 10 or 12 hours a day.
I wouldn't recommend nothing at the computer for that long.
But you know, there are people who work at their computers for that long. Sorry.
No, yeah.
There are people who work for that long at their computers. You know, I wouldn't recommend this as your main point. Like, I still recommend for freelancers, especially external monitor, keyboard setup, you know, at the proper angle, propped up on books or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I think when you're working remotely, this kind of solution at a relatively low cost, I think really dramatically changes that and an external mouse instead of using the trackpad.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And then, like I said, it is high enough that it doesn't cause wrist strain.
Mm-hmm.
For people who are worried about carpal tunnel. The most important thing is then you can adjust at least that your neck strain. I'm more worried about neck strain.
Yes.
So I think that's the thing that I'm protecting long term. And then the other thing, you didn't ask me about this, but I noticed that this was a really cheap thing that I did, is people who are worried about stickering their laptops, this is actually a removable cover that just matched the color of my laptop. So I get to keep this with all the stickers, and then I don't have to worry about affecting the resale value of my laptop.
Okay, well, that's really smart. So she has this, like, a clear kind of cover. You have all of your stickers on it. It's like a fake tattoo.
Yeah.
So you can take that off.
Yeah, I can.
That's smart. I mean, look, I put bumper stickers on my car and in college, and also sort of was like, but what if I don't want to coexist? You remember the coexist bumper sticker? I was like, what if I don't believe in this in a year? But I put the bumper sticker on a magnet and then magnet it to my car, like a big dork. And And I was happy that I could take it off when I finally outgrew my, like, I'm a hippie in Western Massachusetts phase. Smart. Wait, pop it off for me. Let me see.
Sure.
So, right. So when you want to sell this computer, you will not have to worry about the stickers. I love the idea of putting stickers on my laptop, and I love the idea of tattoos. And I think I like all these things in theory, and I worry about the permanence of everything. So this would actually be really helpful for me because one week I'm the kind of gal who wants stickers on her laptop, and one week I'm like, a clean laptop is like my only friend. So you can really just pop it off. That's cool.
Take some finagling, but
you don't have to.
You can see it. It's
Yeah. Don't do it because I would be afraid if you couldn't get back on. So when you, I like that it's on Indiegogo and Kickstarter or wherever, you know, one of those like crowdfunding sites. When you go to buy, do you buy stuff like that a lot, or was this like a real outlier of like, holy shit, like this might be a game changer for me?
I think we get so many of those ads on Facebook and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many men and black backpacks do we need on this planet?
Do you remember the coat, the Indiegogo coat that was like, that had like 97 pockets? And it was like, here's a pocket for your laptop, and here's a pocket for your car, and here's a pocket for this. And it was like, then you unzip the sleeve, and like, here comes a thing, and then you wrap it up, and it's a blanket, and like, you wrap it up, and it's a tent. And that thing raised so much money online. But now I always see Instagram like knockoff products like that. How long ago did you get this? And then after you bought it, did you start seeing ads for, you know, like objects coming into your feed?
I haven't seen a lot of similar ones. Mm. I've definitely seen knockoffs on things like AliExpress.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, I think if you've paid attention to the coolest cooler fiasco,
mm-hmm.
I think it's really important when you're signing up for these kinds of products.
Tell us more about that.
The coolest cooler is one of the highest revenue generating Kickstarters that totally failed. It is, you know, I pay attention because I'm a business and culture reporter. I'm paying attention to which Kickstarter programs or, I would say promotions totally raise huge sums of money and then flame out because they promise too much, you know.
Too good to be true product.
Especially with hardware, you know. I think it was so when you're making something really complicated and physical that requires a lot of injection molding and electronic components, like the coolest cooler had a dock that you could plug in a a blender so that you could blend margaritas at the beach. Like, I remember that function specifically. And it also had, like, a speaker and all these other things. And it promised a lot. It reminded me there was also, like, a scooter that just literally that was, like, we are like the lime scooters that you can own. And then they just spent way too much money marketing. And they were like, we have no more money. Everybody who paid $600 gets nothing. And so the thing about it is with...
And you don't get your money back?
No, no, no. Because there's no guarantees, right? It's like...
I didn't realize that. I don't... I mean, I haven't bought... I think that has always been my big fear. But I also assumed, like, I was being overly cautious and that there had to be a fine print that was like, if they can't deliver, you get your money back. But that's... The fine print is actually, if they can't deliver, you do not get your money back. Wow. Okay. So, I mean, that's scary as hell. So what happened with the cooler? How much money did they raise? Do you remember?
It was one of the I can't remember the exact amount.
I'll Google it while we're talking.
But I think it was the thing that was really hard was a lot of people were deeply invested in this and felt burned. And there were a lot of units that were sold. Like, because the thing about it is it's not like a wintertime product. It was, you know, everyone can relate to going to the beach or going to the park with their friends.
Yeah, and you just want your one, like, your thing. You got your cooler, your coolest cooler. The coolest cooler. Okay. So the Kickstarter is still up, which is interesting. 62,642 backers pledged $13,285,226 to bring this project to life. Last updated, March 12th, 2018. So, yeah, I mean, this is, it's great graphics. It's like a cool product. It looks interesting. I'm looking for an update that says this thing does not exist. There's a light. There's an LED. There's a charger. There's a gear tie down. There's beach tires, which, okay. Storage, a split lid. I mean, there's everything. This thing basically has a microwave in it. And risks and challenges. Okay. And that's it. I mean, it doesn't say anything else about it failing. Did you write about this?
No, I wanted to. I mean, it was at the beginning of when it really burst into flames, not literally, but, you know, that was when I was transitioning from these horrible entry level jobs and realizing that I wanted to be like a magazine writer covering business and culture.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things where I realized that when you cover tech or when you cover business, it's really about those 62,000 people that got screwed.
So I just looked at the Wikipedia page. Okay. Currently, the coolest cooler is one of the largest disasters in Kickstarter history. In the summer of 2014, Ryan Grepper raised over $13 million, making it the most funded Kickstarter campaign of 2014. Crowdfunders were offered the product at a discounted rate, but there's still problems with orders being fulfilled. In December 2019, so this is, you know, at this point, just a few months ago, CEO and founder Ryan Grepper announced that the company was closed, having never delivered coolers to an estimated 20,000 of the original backers. This is horrible. Like, this is horrible. And you knew about Coolest Cooler before. I feel like I would be burned forever and not want to give any money. But you, what made you believe that you were going to get this moffed laptop stand?
It's $20.
Yeah, okay. So, like, the risk was not as insane.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I had done other Kickstarters for things like books.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then I had also been part of something called Longshot Mag. Mm-hmm. And with Matt Honan and Sarah Rich and Alexis Madrigal and even Corey Sika. And so I'd seen how Kickstarter can be successful. And I'd also seen how existing companies had used it to basically fundraise the capital that they needed to put something into production, like a backpack.
Sure.
So I knew from business reporting, like, what were all the indicators that somebody had the operations or the suppliers lined up and things like that. So all the indicators were like, you know, and I think I wasn't buying a Coolest Cooler, or I wasn't buying like the equivalent of a Dyson vacuum cleaner. If they couldn't deliver for the $20 and they had the right prototypes, then I was like, that is not great, but it's not the end of the world. I think the problem is when you get into fundraising for, like I said, hardware where it's headphones or other technical products, because it gets much more complicated.
Right.
And then It's really about what you're promising and why does it need the money up front rather than through a traditional means of, say, like venture capital or something like that.
Well, there are some shades of Theranos in here, which is like, you know, it gives me a little pause that the only thing that you would need to raise $13 million on Kickstarter and no one kind of holding you accountable for that is incredible marketing. You know, you get one prototype, sort of like Elizabeth Holmes had with this, like, whatever Xerox machine for blood that she had in her, like, Theranos basement. But, like, you get one thing and you get it in front of the right people and you start saying, like, yeah, this is possible and we're going to do it. And people start throwing money at you. And if the fine print reads that, like, yeah, if we don't do it, it's not our fault. Like, that's a crazy loophole that we should probably try to close. I mean, it's like, so he wasn't on the hook for any of the he just basically walked away with $13 million. Do they have any proof that he even tried to, like, fulfill the coolers for people?
I mean, that's the thing that I think is really interesting is
tech is so weird.
There's very little accountability.
Yeah.
There are varying degrees of transparency regarding, like, the process.
Uh-huh.
If a Kickstarter campaign can't detail in depth the degree to which they have a plan for executing manufacturing and shipping and all of those things.
Yeah.
What is their quality control protocol?
Right.
All of those kinds of things. I studied operations management, so I pay attention to all of that stuff. Like, who is your staff? Like, what is their previous experience?
Yeah.
All of those things.
Well, it's smart because, yeah, I mean, I think people see good marketing and they think, well, then obviously the thing has to exist. And I am reminded of, like, many a press release that would pass my desk when I was reporting on tech 20 years ago. And it just stuff that, like, just seem if it sounds too good to be true, like, do more research. You know what I mean? Like, there's just don't, you know, people in this industry a lot, and you know this better than anyone because you're doing it for multiple publications on multiple platforms. People see a good press release and they just want to be like, oh yeah, like, this thing does X, Y, and Z. And it's like, well, of course you're going to say that. Like, that's what the press release says. Like, that's what they say. Like, there has to be a little bit more accountability to these companies. Do you remember the water into wine thing from a few years ago?
No.
There was a company that was saying, like, you know, through all of this, like blah, blah, blah technology, like, blah, 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 like, wonk, 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 wonk. Basically, you could, like, filter water and, like, add some sort of, like, thing. And in, like, 20 minutes, like, wine would come out of this cooler. And people, like, did not use their heads. Like, people did not stop to think about this. I will link it in the show notes. I'll find the story. But it was, like, total BS. It's also, like, remember Juicero or Juicero or whatever? The squeezing of the juice pack. It was, like, a $400 squeezer to literally squeeze a packet of juice into a glass. People went nuts over it until they realized, like, hey, by the way, you don't have to buy the $400 squeezer. You can just use your hands. And no one seems to get in trouble for any of this stuff. I think the Theranos thing started us down this path of accountability for, like, scams. But it does sort of help the rich get richer. I mean, you report on this. Like, is it a little disheartening for you to see stories like this over and over again?
I'm always wondering if I went into the wrong line of work.
Like, you should have been, like, an inventor of the water into wine machine and just collected?
Or even that guy who sold the live water from the spring.
What was that?
It was the Juicero guy.
Oh, okay, great. Awesome. Look, people, like, don't be a person that will buy, and I say this as a podcast that is saying, like, hey, here are some things that people love and have bought and, like, maybe you should buy them too, but, like, just don't buy things that don't seem normal and like, don't be tricked by good marketing, I guess, is what I'm saying. You know, there's a lot of scammers out there. And I'm glad that you didn't get scammed by this laptop stand. Do you know if they're selling them anywhere besides, like, where do you buy them now? The Kickstarter's essentially over, I assume.
Yeah, you can get them directly from their own website, and they also sell them on Amazon.
Okay, well, we'll link to the website, Moft, M-O-F-T.
Yep.
Awesome. And you paid $20, but that was the Kickstarter price. So, like, do you know how much they cost now?
Yeah, you can still get them for around, like I said, around $20 or $30.
See, this is not a scam. This is good.
Depending on the design that you would like, I think there's a discount if you buy two of them.
Cool.
And, you know.
Pretty self-explanatory.
And I think it's really good if you would like to, if one of your New Year's resolutions is to take care of yourself and you want to reduce neck strain when you're working away from your desk you know, at a coffee shop,
yep.
On the train, if you fly a lot, I'd recommend this.
Awesome. And my last question is, like, what happens if the back, like, unsticks or, like, gets, like, is there a warranty on it? Or do you just say, like, okay, this thing lasted me a few years, I'm going to buy another one now?
You're supposed to be able to rinse it
and
wash the dirt off and then restick it.
I don't know that I believe those things.
But it's, like, really grippy. Like, yeah, I don't know if you would, like, it would take,
like,
a lot of effort.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I love it. And that's been on your laptop for a year.
Yep.
And if it's not up, you can't even feel that, like, millimeter. That's awesome. Cool. Well, it is the Moft laptop stand. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back shortly. All right, and we are back. This is G-Thanks Just Bought It. I'm your host, Caroline Moss, and I'm joined today by Karen Cahoe. She just recommended the Moft laptop stand, which she bought during a Kickstarter, and she was so compelling in her reasoning as to why she bought it and how much it helps that our producer, Tim, who's sitting in the room, literally was on his phone buying one as she was talking, so I feel like that's a really good endorsement. I've said this a couple, maybe a few episodes ago, but I'm personally trying to be more intentional about the items that I bring because for me, you know, my guests get to bring something, one guest, one item per week. So, like, it's obviously the thing that you believe the most in, the thing that the guests are the most excited about. But I have to bring something new every week, which I feel like takes away from the excitedness about the items that I really love because every week I'm like, oh, I have to bring something from my house that I bought. And so I'm trying to be a little bit more thoughtful about if I really don't have an item, I'm not going to bring one. But I have a tip that I think it makes me a smarter shopper and a smarter spender. And so that was what I was going to bring today. So I will start off by asking, Karen, how do you organize your email, like with sale emails and with travel deals and all of that stuff? Like, do you have a strat?
I have a non-professional looking email address for all that promo travel stuff.
Yep.
And then I have, I used my old Columbia email address for most of my work stuff mm-hmm. as a freelancer. And then I just started a new email address for public facing accounts like social media. So that way that there's a distinction between
work, play.
Well, there was also, I needed a filter just because, unfortunately, as a woman and a woman of color on the internet, I wanted to make sure that my Twitter account has grown significantly bigger than I ever expected. So I was like, if there are people who are contacting me through that, but there are also work email who come through that. But that's it. Is I have this like very innocuous email address for, like, you know, when you sign up, when they're like, would you like our promo for this 10% off?
Yeah.
And then I can go and unsubscribe like a week later.
That is sort of what I was going to bring, is this idea of setting up all these different emails for like different things. I think that it is generational, that millennials are a little bit more like, I have one email. Like, of course, like, yeah, like I went and bought something at Madewell. They're going to send my email to like the receipt to this email. I like signed up for a Casper mattress. I have the Skim. I have like the J.Crew factory sale. And then all of a sudden I'm just deleting everything and I'm not reading anything. And so what I started to do, which I have found super helpful, is I set up two separate emails. One is for sales and shopping and one is for travel deals. And the reason why I did it, and the reason why I think it's helpful is because, you know, 360 out of 365 days of the year, I am not planning a trip. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not thinking about travel. I wish I could be. I'm just not. And so every morning I wake up and it's like, Hawaii flights, like $350. I'm like, that's great. But like, it's Wednesday and I have to go to the dentist. So what I did was I set up a separate email that was literally like, you know, Caroline Moss travels at like whatever. And I now send all of those travel deals. And when I sign up for travel deals, I send them there. And I only check that email when it's time to plan a trip. So basically then I'll log into my email and at the top of my inbox is like whatever deal is happening. And that way I feel like I'm actually looking at the email, like that the email that I'm hoping will be helpful is actually helpful. It's not drowning my inbox. And I actually might find a good deal because, like, the Hawaii for $350 is only helpful if that morning I'm like, well, I'm planning a trip to Hawaii today and I was planning on throwing down for a trip. And it's the same with shopping. Like, I get really mad at myself for ever buying anything full sale, especially from a place like The Gap or Madewell, when, you know, it's always after you buy, it's always after you're like, fine, like, I'm going to buy the $275 coat, that the next day they're like, it's a 70% off sale, like, including the coat. So I try to send all my shopping emails to another one, like Caroline Moss Shops, like summer, summer, summer. And I only check it when I'm ready to spend some money. And that way, like, I don't feel, it's twofold. You know, it doesn't clog up my inbox, but then I sort of stave off that feeling of like, oh my God, like J.Crew's having a sale. I gotta do it. I gotta spend the money. FYI, J.Crew has had more than one sale. Like, you will find another J.Crew sale. And ever since doing that, and I started about 3 or 4 months ago, my email routine has been so much easier. I feel like most of the day I spend deleting email that I'm never going to open, like Warby Parker, like new glasses styles. Like, okay, great. I'm sure this is helpful for somebody. You know, some Casper deal, another J.Crew sale, because there are so many. And now I actually see the stuff in my inbox that I need to reply to. And it's funny because my sister, who's 9 years younger than me, like, knows this already. She's like, that's how everyone does email. I'm like, oh, so we're the olds now? Like, we're the olds who are just, like, putting down our phone numbers and our email addresses, like, any old place, and then wondering why we have 600 emails a day. So that is my tip for, like, a more condensed email experience. What do you do with your travel emails, Karen?
I unsubscribe to most of them. I mean,
but what about when you need the deal?
So the thing is, though, like, my family does an annual trip, and then my boyfriend and I have been planning for a trip together for a while. So, like, I don't need the deals. Or, like, my boyfriend reminded me when I was sending him those deals that I was like, oh, my God, this Paris flight is, like, $300. How mm-hmm. is it that it's cheap? Mm-hmm. He's like, Karen, you send me one of, like, these, like, once a week or once a month. there's no shortage of these deals.
Right,
you can to Paris. He's like, stop trying to convince me that we need to do it now.
You can go to Paris in your really discounted J.Crew coat, like anytime you want.
So to your point, I think it's really about being intentional and trying to figure out what the purpose is. So even we hadn't talked about this, but about the purchasing and wellness and stuff. Mm-hmm. So. I'm not kidding. I didn't pitch the Goop Cruise, even though I've been on 13 of them.
You've been on 13 Goop Cruises?
No.
Oh.
13 cruises in
okay.
general.
I was like, okay, I was like, I would like you to pitch that story. You've been on 13 Goop Cruises. Okay, you've been on 13 cruises. Okay, but my heart rate has to go down a little bit. Okay.
There is only one Goop Cruise.
There is only one.
And but the funny thing is, I can't pitch it as a freelancer because my family is already going on a cruise the same week, leaving from New York.
Nice. Where are you going?
We're going... very boringly to Boston and two parts of Canada. So, like, Rhode
You're
Island.
Cruising to Boston?
From New York. Well, my family was like, they were like, we're going to make it convenient for you, Karen. You don't have to fly back to Toronto or fly somewhere.
Uh-huh. And your family's in Toronto.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's from, like, the port near Newark Airport. And then we're going to, like, we don't have to do anything,
I
right?
I love that. You're like, I'm cruising to Boston.
In general, I think the thing is, cruising appeals especially to retirees who feel like they have a limited amount of time or money to see a lot of different places.
Yeah.
And a lot of the logistics. And, you know, it's also really accommodating for people with disabilities, large yep. families. But the thing about
Kids.
It is, I think, like, there are so many more alternatives since I started traveling. And I think they're, like, I really recommend the Half Tour.
Okay.
It's with a company called Cosmos. And, like, there were people on my tour who had done 9 or more tours with the same company because they loved it so much.
Yeah, that's a good, you know, endorsement.
Oh, my God. It was amazing. And it was people from all over the world. I think the funniest thing that I tweeted out was I met this Indian couple whose son had discovered a galaxy. They're like, that's nice that you've been published in Time. Have you met our son? I'm just going to pull up his paper.
Oh, my gosh. How old was he?
26 years old.
Okay. For some reason, I thought you meant, like, this Indian couple had, like, a 4-year-old son who discovered a galaxy.
No, like, no big deal. PhD
yeah.
in astrophysics.
Right. Congrats on your Time article. Our son's a galaxy explorer. That's kind of amazing.
He had set a record for discovering the limits of space.
All right. Oh, no need to brag, man. I've done nothing of that sort. I'm like, I don't know what I've done. Nothing like that.
You published books.
Who cares? He discovered the limits of space. I don't care about my books. Now I'm just mad at this guy. That is amazing. I love that we took this conversation from laptop spans to Kickstarter scams to like travel emails to cruises. And Karen, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This was so amazing. And we got to try out this like thing where I Instagram you while we're talking. But I'm pumped about that laptop stand. We know Tim is pumped about that laptop stand. Yeah, I loved having you here. Tell everybody where they can follow you online.
So I'm available, unfortunately, all the time on Twitter at Karen, K-H-O. And yeah, I also have a website, karenho.ca. And yeah, you can find my writing all sorts of places. I recently published a very fun article on the Romance Writers of America catastrophe.
Amazing.
And that was in the Globe and Mail.
And don't forget to be in touch with her. If you're looking for anything that you think a Columbia student might be getting rid of, she will embed you in those Facebook groups and get you your own $50 Dyson, but that's only after she gets me mine. Karen, thank you for coming. We'll see you guys next week for another episode of Do You Think I Just Bought It?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.